Hi, everybody. A couple of great spring days ahead before another storm system by late in the week. For today, look for mostly sunny skies, high temperature in the upper 60s. Another very chilly night tonight. Definitely jacket weather. Overnight low temperature in the low 40s with clear skies. Tomorrow, very nice. Perfect spring day. Sunshine, high around 76. Then on Thursday, mid-70s. Much of the day dry, but increasing clouds. Chance of a late day shower. Then showers and storms become likely Thursday night into part of Friday. And then more showers and maybe some storms over the upcoming weekend. Pollen count very high today and medium to high tomorrow. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASC Credit Union. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASC. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASC Credit Union, 9 locations or online at yourasecu.com.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Alabama lawmakers will introduce legislation today to make it a felony to perform an abortion at any stage of pregnancy unless the mother's health is in jeopardy. If put into law, it would be the most restrictive abortion bill in the country and will likely be challenged in court. Montgomery police have made an arrest in a deadly shooting last month. Authorities have charged 31-year-old Cortez Wright with murder and the shooting death of 35-year-old Xavier Smith. Wright is being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $150,000 bond. And Wednesday will mark 1 month since the deadly tornado in Lee County, and emergency crews are still looking for volunteers to help with recovery efforts. For more information on how you can help, contact the Lee County EMA. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
At Navy Federal Credit Union, we help our members execute missions every day, like Operation...
Buy our home. Woo! Fix our home. Live in our home. Fix our home. Make memories in our home. Love our home.
Apply now for a home loan from Navy Federal. With no private mortgage insurance and 0% down options available, you're closer to your dream home than you think. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Open to the armed forces, the DOD, veterans, and their families. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Certain terms and conditions apply.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurance.
Montgomery area helpwanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
A second woman has come forward with accusations against Joe Biden.
Connecticut woman is saying the former vice president inappropriately touched her, rubbing noses.
President Trump cut aid to Central American countries amid caravan chaos at the border.
El Paso saw such a spike in migrants that officials were forced to house some of them under this border bridge.
A longtime employee of the White House Personnel Security Office claims 25 people denied clearances because of disqualifying issues in their backgrounds were granted access anyway.
Two Marines have died in a helicopter crash during a training exercise in Arizona.
House Democratic Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler demanding Attorney General Bill Barr turn over the full Mueller report or else face a subpoena.
The CDC says the number of measles cases this year has already surpassed the count for all of 2018. And it's only April.
There's a breakthrough cancer treatment. It can turn your own blood cells into biological weapons that kill cancer cells.
A modern-day Little Red Hen may not appear to be a quotable authority on economics, but then some authorities on economics aren't worth quoting. About a year ago, I imposed a little poetry on you. It was called The Incredible Bread Machine and made a lot of sense with reference to matters economic. You didn't object too much, so having gotten away with it once, I'm going to try again. This is a little treatise on basic economics called The Modern Little Red Hen. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen who scratched about the barnyard until she uncovered some grains of wheat. She called her neighbors and said, "If we plant this wheat, we shall have bread to eat. Who will help me plant it?" "Not I," said the cow. "Not I," said the duck. "Not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. The wheat grew tall and ripened into golden grain. "Who will help me reap my wheat?" asked the little red hen. "Not I," said the duck. "Out of my classification," said the pig. "I'd lose my seniority," said the cow. "I'd lose my unemployment compensation," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. At last it came time to bake the bread. "Who will help me bake bread?" asked the little red hen. "Oh, that'd be overtime for me," said the cow. "I'd lose my welfare benefits," said the duck. "I'm a dropout and never learned how," said the pig. "Well, if I'm to be the only helper, that's discrimination," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen. She baked 5 loaves and held them up for her neighbors to see. They all wanted some, and in fact demanded a share. But the little red hen said, "No, I can eat the 5 loaves myself." "Excess profits," cried the cow. "Capitalist leech," screamed the duck. "I demand equal rights," yelled the goose. And the pig just grunted. And they painted unfair picket signs and marched round and round the little red hen, shouting obscenities. When the government agent came, he said to the little red hen, "You must not be greedy." "But I earned the bread," said the little red hen. "Exactly," said the agent. "That's the wonderful free enterprise system. Anyone in the barnyard can earn as much as he wants. But under our modern government regulations, the productive workers must divide their product with the idle." And they lived happily ever after, including the little red hen, who smiled and clucked, "I am grateful, I am grateful." But her neighbors wondered why she never again baked any more bread. I guess a lot of us have been wondering something like that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
65 degrees outside, stock market is down 84 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How are we doing today, big guy?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Doing great. Beautiful day outside.
Yes,
really,
yes it
really,
is.
Really, really pretty. A couple of issues here we need to deal with. Number one is our telephone number is 272-9228. First time callers, need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Today will be the last day that the prime is off 25%. You want to take advantage of that, boys and girls. It's really, really good. High, very high quality meat. I get the ribeye, which is normally $19.99 a pound, but $14.99 a pound for... with the 25% off. Also, I went down to Sweet Creek Farm Market, saw lovely Karen Ingram, and they have a few more tomatoes left. Tomatoes are going to be coming in later today, and strawberries, they're out of. They got wiped out yesterday and Sunday, and but they're going to have new ones in tomorrow morning about 10 a.m. They're sending pickers down to Verbena to get those and get them up on the shelves. $12 a basket, and this is the perfect time of year for them. A little cool at night, warm during the day, get those juices flowing in the strawberries, and they're really, really good. So take advantage of that. Go down and see Karen Ingram and tell them you're a Dan Morris Show listener. They always love to hear from you. I also have to give a shout-out to... 84, a.k.a. Clay, had some appliances delivered yesterday, and I appreciate you closing out the show for me.
Absolutely.
But had them delivered yesterday, and he helped me get them installed, and he is a great guy. Very, very good at what he does. I didn't know that if you were in the heating and cooling business, you had to have a plumber's license, and he does, and so we got my, you have to have a plumber to connect your gas range in today's world. And to do the dishwasher, so got them both going, and they're working great. I haven't washed had a dishwasher in a while, so I'm really glad to have that. My wine glasses are starting to look much better now.
Yeah, when I think of the very salt of the earth, I think of clay very quickly.
He's really good. Really good with his hands.
Indeed.
Very talented guy. But he got both of those put together and went to Cannes, which is the place that was in the Gander building, the sports place.
Yeah.
That went out of business. Where I went in and looked at a pistol. The exact same pistol at the Academy was, they were selling it for $7.98. The Academy was selling it for $5.73. That's why they're not in business anymore.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's like, I was going like, you guys are nuts. But way overpriced, and they didn't last long at all. It was not a store for Montgomery, Alabama, I can tell you that right off the bat. Okay, 272-9228, that's where we are. Got a lot going on here. Another accuser coming out about Joe Biden touching inappropriately. They rub noses.
I think it's called an Eskimo kiss.
Eskimo kiss, yeah.
If he had gotten even closer and fluttered his eyelash on her, it would have been a butterfly kiss.
Butterfly kiss, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that from my mother. So let's start out with another woman accuses Joe Biden of touching inappropriately, and we rub noses together. CBS.
Former Vice President Joe Biden has not responded to another claim that he touched a woman inappropriately. A woman who used to work for a Connecticut congressman says Biden rubbed his nose against hers at a fundraiser nearly 10 years ago. Ed O'Keefe has more from a second woman to speak up about the likely presidential candidate.
Amy Lapos is the former congressional staffer who says she met Biden at a Democratic Party fundraiser in Greenwich, Connecticut in 2009. Last night, she described to CBS News what she says happened towards the end of that evening.
We took some pictures, and then he came over and he put his hands around my head and pulled me in. And as he was doing that, I was like, okay, he's gonna kiss me. And I was like, am I okay with this? I don't know. Am I okay with this? What, you know, what is he doing? And then our noses touched. He rubbed noses.
Lapo says she's partly speaking out in support of Lucy Flores, the former Nevada assemblywoman who's also accused Biden of inappropriate behavior. Both women say that nothing Biden did was sexual in nature, but they say the former vice president made them feel uncomfortable and violated their personal space. A spokesman for Biden didn't return requests for comment on this new specific allegation, but over the weekend, Biden said in a statement that over his lifetime of campaigning, not once, never did I believe I acted inappropriately.
Not once did I ever think I acted inappropriately.
It's odd. I don't do that to complete strangers.
Well, somebody who had seen him at the White House, who went to the White House for a visit, said that he was doing that to everybody, to guys and to women. Hmm. Big hugs and
right.
And that kind of stuff, and very touchy-feely. And some of the people that were in the party with them said, this is kind of strange here. Some of the females said that.
Hmm.
And somebody we both know real well.
Hmm.
Go on.
So, yeah, maybe this is just how he is. And then nobody's ever, like, corrected him enough to be like, hey, Joe.
Hey, stop. Well, you know, we would see it and we would comment on it, but nobody else would comment on it, particularly on the Democrat side. But the Me Too era has come upon us here. And I think this is going to really mess him up here. They're also blaming Bernie Sanders on this because of Flores' involvement with Bernie Sanders versus Flores' involvement with Kamala Harris. This is the second part of the story.
We have arrived at an important time when women feel they can and should relate their experiences, and men should pay attention, and I will. On Monday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told reporters that the allegations should, quote, not at all disqualify Biden from the presidential race. And at a forum for other already declared Democratic presidential candidates here in Washington on Monday, former Housing Secretary Julian Castro and Senator Amy Klobuchar told us that it's up to Biden to determine what to do next. Both said they'd never seen Biden behave inappropriately at campaign events they attended with him.
It's interesting to hear the former vice president saying that these women's stories should be told.
Yeah.
They should be told in context. Certainly the severity of which they allege these things. But human contact happens out on the political campaign trail and also in life. it happens.
And I think you have to look at the intention, too, behind it. I think that's why this is so hard for a lot of people. I've seen a lot of eye rolls about this particular, about both of these incidents. And I think you have to put it in, as you said, context and the intention behind it.
Right. There are very serious issues of sexual harassment,
exactly.
abuse, and assault. We've covered them on this show repeatedly.
So he's having kind of a difficult time here, and it's this is what happens when you have a standard that is kind of this false standard that you're creating outrage over nothing, and then that outrage happens to you or somebody on your team, then they kind of get punished the way you wanted to punish somebody else.
Right.
Because that's what they were using this for, is punishment. No doubt about that.
Well, and I feel like there are a lot of people in the Democratic Party that would like any excuse or any standard to be used against Joe Biden to get him out of the race or never allow him to enter the race in the first place. Because he does have that name ID, and he is leading in the polls right now. So if you can kick him out early, that gives a lot of running room for people. They don't want that Hillary Clinton effect that tamped down on Bernie and others like the last cycle.
Well, also, it's going to take something out of their hand, and that's the accusations against Trump. It makes it makes us a lot softer that's out there. You know, the mayor of South Bend that's been on Bag of Gicks or whatever his name is, he raised $7 million in the first quarter.
And like Butt Geig?
Yeah,
Butt Geig. Or something like that?
Yeah, that's going to look good on a bumper sticker. I'm for Butt Geig. I'm with Butt Geig.
Yeah.
But he really impressed Mika and Joe Scarborough and when he was on with them. I had a little bit of a cut of him, but I never got to it, and that was about a week ago. And he is pretty good, and he's gay and has a male wife that lives in with him. That's going to be interesting on January 20th, 2021. Just be the first gay man sworn in as president if he wins. I'm not sure where the Democratic Party and this guy are going to be. He certainly is going to get that kind of far left with a tinge of, I've got some financial sensibility about me. Who is that? Oh, Ritz. Ritz, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing real well. Thank you for asking. I must admit, I am really enjoying watching Democrats eat their own, but I can't help but feel that there's something very evil in using this as a form to destroy somebody in politics. I mean, that complaint that this last lady made was absolutely petty, and if she had a problem with it, she should have addressed it back when it happened instead of using it to ruin a person's political career. Now, I don't care for Joe Biden, but I don't want him to go out like that. That's just wrong. Wrong is wrong no matter who the person is.
I agree with that. Do you think that, is there some intentionality about this in your opinion?
Absolutely. I've heard that Flores was a friend of Kamala Harris and supports Bernie Sanders, so those two could be secretly involved. And I don't know much about this latest person, but, you know, I think, why would somebody bring something up that petty so far in the past? It defies logic. So what you need to do is you need to start looking at other reasons. And politics always defies logic.
Well, this is where the progressives have, they think they've got their stake in the sand, and what they're doing is they don't want that stake to move, and they feel Joe Biden, I believe, will move it, in their opinion.
Well, they're going to reap what they sow, and I think that, Beto O'Rourke is going to be another one whose past is going to bite him in the butt. And they just, instead of discussing issues and talking about solutions, everybody tries to destroy each other on personal politics. And if that's how we're going to select our politicians, we're going to end up with a very sorry lot.
I agree with you on that. But And the Democrats are, to be honest with you, they're a little panicked out here. That's clearly part of the chatter that I hear. The Democrats are kind of, we're killing ourselves here because we're setting a standard that they cannot be done.
Yeah, in the military, we used to call that defecating in your own mess kit.
I like that.
Thank you for taking my call, Dan.
Thanks for calling, Rich. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
272-9228, that's where we are on a Tuesday. We're going to be back after this quick break.
Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
I'm Wiley Dempsey. I own Carter's World here in Montgomery. I've been here for over 10 years. We recently moved across town to 6383 Atlanta Highway. Without Blue Water, we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are. They got the message out to thousands of people.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper, and thank you, Chancellor.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Come on. Tell Joe to run so we can have those kind of clips. I am tonight. Because he is a gaff machine, no doubt about that.
What was that promise?
Let's go to the phones and go to Red Top. Red Top, how are you today?
Wonderful. What a beautiful day. Once the pollen level goes down about 11 in the morning, it's okay. But, buddy, it's pure hell when you get up, ain't it?
It is, and it was cold this morning. It was 46 degrees when I woke up this morning and took the trash out.
Yes, but it is such a beautiful spring we're having here. Joe Biden is a goner. He's never even going to make it to the announcement, I don't think. And Bernie Sanders is on top. Nobody's talking about it, but Bernie is kicking butt everywhere he's going. He's drawing big crowds, and he's raising lots of money. For the 18 to 26-year-olds that are still living at home under their parents' insurance policy, that's a large group of folks who want their grandfather to be president. I think that's a big damn problem, don't y'all?
Well, Bernie being president?
These guys picking their grandfather, Bernie, their Jewish grandfather, Bernie, to be president. I think there's a lot of young folks that would do it, don't you? How about you, Joey?
I think there are plenty, sure.
Yeah.
Not enough to win it, I don't think, but there are plenty that are enthusiastic about him and what he wants to do.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
We need to see how he does in New Hampshire's going to tell us a lot, and how he does in Iowa is going to tell us a lot, but New Hampshire,
yeah.
He's got to win New Hampshire. And
yeah, I think he's going to do scaringly good, guys. I think he did way better than anybody expected he was going to do last time. Let's keep in mind, he's not really a Democrat, which is ironic because Donald Trump wasn't really a Republican. So these people are kind of moving outside their party confines to choose new people because they're sick of the old ones, and I can't blame them for that. But I think Bernie is a threat to this nation with his whole concept of socialism. And we really need to watch out for him. And that's mainly what I think. He's a creepy Jewish monster sneaking in a background. So thank you, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Enjoy this pretty day. 272-9228, that's where we are. There was a very interesting interview that Mark Levin did with Sarah Carter and John Solomon, who were fans of those two. And Life, Liberty, and Levin is a show that he has, and this was he has really good guests in there. And Fox Nation is something else that's kind of interesting that you're going to hear Bill Bennett talking about on The Wise Guys. It's a good show. Not all of the shows were good. Some of them were just boring as hell. But I did it for about a month, and the problem is you can't download clips from them. They won't load into a converter, so I just gave up on it. Because I would have brought you a whole bunch of stuff from it. But this is Sarah Carter and John Solomon with Levin. And we're going to be talking about the story. And it's a story we've talked about a lot on here. And that's the stuff going on within the intelligence community.
You're the, I don't want to offend you, like the Woodward and Bernsteins of our time. Of course, Woodward and Bernstein aren't anymore. But you've dug into this story about Russia, about the Obama administration, about spying, about what I consider the greatest political scandal, if not in modern history, in all history, and I'm very much a historian. For 2 years, this collusion narrative, really 2.5 years, has been pushed by the Hillary campaign, by the DNC, by their propagandists, by the surrogates, by the media. You're professional journalists. John Solomon, let me go to you first. How do you explain your doggedness? It's almost instinctive. You see this, you're a journalist, this is how you were trained, and you go after it. And yet the vast majority of others in your profession, they see it, and they divert. How do you explain that?
You know, I think there's a romanticism in the profession with Watergate. Everyone wants the next Watergate, and they're trying to aspire to it. I grew up in an era where you were told never to fall in love with your story, to always be dispassionate, and to just follow the facts wherever they lay. And when we started to follow the facts, they did not add up to the story that the mainstream media and the Obama administration was telling us. We were talking to the very intelligence people that were briefing Congress behind closed doors and telling them we don't have evidence of collusion. And then we see these members come out and say there's evidence of collusion. People like Adam Schiff and Mark Warner. And we just kept with it. We talked to people and we kept hearing it's not there. This is a faux scandal. It's a dirty political trick. Stick to the facts and you'll get the truth. And that's what we did. We just stuck to the facts. We didn't become passionate. We just followed the facts where they went.
Now, when I was in Washington, D.C., they'd have these journalists at the press club in particular, kind of round tables where you'd hear them talk about how they would approach a story and different things. I remember watching Bob Woodward up there one time, and I would go down and go get a ticket for it and go have lunch and watch them. Press club is a pretty cool place, in National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and I love to hear media talk about media and what they do and how they do it. This is a fascinating story. You're going to hear some things in here that you did not know. News Talk 93.1, Dan Morris Show. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made?
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is the economy is on the up and up, but the bad news is your adjustable rate is on its way up too. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and if you currently have an adjustable rate mortgage, listen up. An adjustable rate mortgage provides you with a lower rate and payment at the start, but it fluctuates each adjustment period based on financial reports. The better the economy, the better the financial reports, the higher your adjustable rate. Your low monthly payment could skyrocket overnight. Don't be caught off guard. By refinancing to a fixed rate with Alabama Home Mortgage, you can go to sleep with the peace of mind that your rate will not change, no matter the state of the economy. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get the peace of mind of a fixed rate Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump now says any vote on a Republican health care plan to replace the Affordable Care Act would take place after the 2020 election. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders tells Fox,
I don't think that the election has to be a referendum on Obamacare. It needs to be a discussion about what works on health care, and that's what the president's doing.
Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer.
He promises, reelect me, and maybe you can take a peek at my backup plan after that. Which they don't have.
It was announced last week the Trump administration would support a lawsuit arguing Obamacare is unconstitutional. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says about accusations of unwanted touching against former Vice President Joe Biden.
People's space is important to them, and what's important is how they receive it, not necessarily how you intended it.
One woman says Biden pulled her close and rubbed noses with her. Another says he sniffed and kissed the back of her head. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. A couple of great spring days ahead before another storm system by late in the week. For today, look for mostly sunny skies, high temperature in the upper 60s. Another very chilly night tonight. Definitely jacket weather. Overnight low temperature in the low 40s with clear skies. Tomorrow, very nice. Perfect spring day. Sunshine, high around 76. Then on Thursday, mid-70s. Much of the day dry, but increasing clouds. Chance of a late day shower. Then showers and storms become likely Thursday night into part of Friday. And then more showers and maybe some storms over the upcoming weekend. Pollen count very high today and medium to high tomorrow. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Okay, this is Sarah Carter and John Solomon. John Solomon on the Hill and Sarah Carter, who's a contributor to Fox and was, I think, with the Federalist. But two very good reporters. We followed them for several years now. Now, they're going to get back on getting the story and what their thought process is in getting it.
But why are there so few journalists who follow the facts where they go?
I don't know, and I don't understand it. I don't know what their personal decisions are. I know my own. I know that when I started as a journalist many decades ago, a couple of decades ago or more, the first thing I was taught is you are a voice for the voiceless. Your objectivity is everything, as much as you can be objective in a story, because we all have our own personal feelings when we enter it. We try to put those aside, be dispassionate, as John said. But we're really there to tell the story. It's not our story. And We rely on multiple sources, regardless of who that source is, whether that source is John Brennan or James Clapper, and we put a lot of emphasis in senior officials. I was told, don't put emphasis in senior officials. Find three, I mean, even John and I discussed this. We would cover stories all the time. We started at the Washington Times. Didn't matter if it
was
president.
We worked together at the not Washington Times.
Yeah, we did. We did. That's where we met. I came from California. I heard John Solomon was going to be coming from the Post to actually to go to the Washington Times. And I was very excited. He came on board, and John sent me, I was at the foreign desk, and John sent me on my merry way to Afghanistan and said, bring us back some stories.
And that she did.
And that I did. And I spent time on the ground with our soldiers, with U.S. soldiers.
By the way, we have a local contact with the Washington Times, and that's Dick Emberg, who was formerly the publisher of the Montgomery Advertiser, who was hired to be the publisher, chief editor of the Washington Times during the very time that those two were there. And Dick really knew how to find people, as Dick and I go to church this very day. He really knew how to find people that could go in and get stories and not make up stories, not print the things that they believed in, but get the story. So you're going to kind of get into their head of how they would kind of pull all this together. You know, what changed in journalism? And this is a very interesting cut of their thought process into this.
You've both been journalists for some time now. You heard what Koppel had to say. He's very concerned by what's happening to major media outlets here.
So am I.
You're concerned too.
Yeah.
What do? You just keep soldiering on, show people what a real journalist is, show people how to do news. Or is there need for something more, something bigger, do you think?
That's a great question. You know, I think the industry has to have a moment of introspection after what's happened here, and not some faux introspection where we beat our chest for a couple of days and move on. I think we have to look at how do we practice journalism in the 21st century, where we have Twitter and Facebook and all these outlets to say things. I think one of the great signs that I saw coming of an industry that was straying so far from neutrality was when Twitter started, and you would see these reporters make these extraordinary expressions of opinion. I would have been fired at the Associated Press if I ever said any of those things 20 years ago, and it just opened up a bottle of champagne, a cork popped out, and all of a sudden journalists felt they could just say whatever they wanted. And I learned when I came in, no one cared about my opinion. They want to hear about the facts you have in your notebook. I think we strayed so far from that. We've got to go back and look, how did that happen, and how do we try to resolve what we've done to the industry? We've lost a lot of our credibility.
Well, and the public is very well aware of that. I mean, we see that in how the public views journalism now. As I mean, there's no trust. There's a lack of trust. One of the things that I thought of and I wanted to say, I remember, you know, every great editor has always told me this. You don't write a story from behind a desk. You go there, you interview the people, you look at them in the face, you ask for documents, you find what their motive is. Do they have a motive for telling you this? What is that motive? Sometimes the motive may be selfish, it may still be the truth, but we need to know what the motive is. That's what we always did. I saw it changing, I saw it shifting. So many journalists in a lot of different newsrooms that I worked in would never leave their desk. They always wanted to have friends, especially in Washington, D.C. There was a big bubble here where people felt that, you know, it was better to be friends with the administration, especially under Obama, President Obama. People really wanted to be friends with the administration, go to their parties, go to their dinners. It became very difficult for them to tell the truth, to tell the stories, to hold these officials accountable. And I think that's what we've seen.
Spot on both cases. You have to get out from behind the desk, and that's what real journalism is. Jim Acosta is not a real journalist. Jim Acosta is stating his opinion about things and asking questions that are in his framework, not in trying to find out the actual information behind it. And the interesting thing that she said was motivation. What's the motivation that somebody has to tell you some things? But then the other thing is, what's the motivation of a reporter to tell the things that he says to you, he or she says to you? What's their motivation? Is it to dissuade you from a particular thing? Now, this next cut is super interesting. So we're talking about that they got tipped off by Intel source and that Michael Flynn was kind of the beginning of this. Listen to this.
Yeah, March 2017, because we'd already been working on the stories.
Right.
I mean, we were getting tipped off. We saw what was happening to General Flynn, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. I remember being approached by, let's say, federal law enforcement officers who had told me, you really need to dig into what's happened to Lieutenant General Flynn. Apparently, there's a lot been going on inside the FBI. Look at Andrew McCabe. Focus on some of these characters. It was the same thing that happened to John. I started focusing in and just really taking a step back, saying, what's going on here? And the more we started to investigate, little by little, we started peeling back what we call the onion, right? The layers of the onion. It really felt like that. So then I think, it can't get much worse than this.
Was General Flynn set up?
I absolutely believe that General Flynn was a target from the very beginning.
Because the Obama generals didn't like him. The
That's
Obama
absolutely
intelligence,
true.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Their intelligence.
Absolutely. And if you keep in mind, if you look back at that time, he was talking about a massive reorganization of the intelligence community.
That's right.
There are a lot of powerful constituencies in the intelligence community that like the status quo. And he was talking about reorganizing that. And I think he had a target on his back and the opportunity struck. And to answer the question of whether he was set up, all you have to do is take James Comey's own comments at that seminar in New York. We tricked him into being interviewed before he could get lawyers. What a statement to be made by the man.
We tricked him.
Yeah. To be made by the man who oversaw our FBI.
Not only that, but a man who spent, a lieutenant general, who spent 33 years of his life dedicated to this nation, his service overseas was exemplary. Without him, I have been told by assistant deputy directors of the Department of Defense and others, without him, he was like the third leg on getting Al-Qaeda, on targeting all the Al-Qaeda operatives in Iraq. Yeah. In Afghanistan, I talked to soldiers who said he would stand by us. He was always there for us. He was always defending us. And they just basically destroyed this man's life. They turned his life upside down, but I knew it. There was a purpose for that, Mark. There was a purpose because he had access to everything. This is a man that angered the CIA, that was head of the DIA. He had connections all over this town. He knew where the bodies were buried. He knew about Benghazi. He knew how all these operations, and President Obama and his team early on knew they had to get this guy out of the way. And they had to get him out of the way quick.
And they'd already tried to get him out of the way, and they failed. And he became a top advisor to the President of the United States. I hope he's at the top of the list for a pardon. That's just me.
Interesting. So they both believe that Michael Flynn was set up.
Wow.
I know. Well, what do you get to the next part? Is that, or did I not include that?
I didn't. Well, what happened is you sent me 3 and 4 were a copy. Were the same exact clip. So I reduced from 5 clips to 4 clips. But there was not a next part.
And you listened to all of them, and, mm-hmm. and there was a duplicate?
Yeah, 2 and 3 were a duplicate, or 3 and 4 were a duplicate. Exact same.
Okay, well, gosh, that left out a very important part of that, and I need to go and pick that up.
But this is interesting. Where is this show, Levin?
This is Life, Liberty, and Levin. He does a show on Sundays that's
on Fox?
On Fox, and it's good. Marie sent this to me this morning. I listened to all of it, and I was very impressed. And I love hearing kind of in a reporter's mind what's going on.
Well, I think part of what's happening, their conversation about what's happened to journalism is fascinating. Because I have a journalist in the family. I've known a few, too. And partly, I think some journalists have, you know, radio host envy. They want to be Limbaugh, they want to be Hannity, they want to be Mark Levin. They want to kind of do, because this world is fun. You get to talk in off the top of your head. You get to share your opinion and your perspective and your speculations. All these sorts of things. And that's very different than being a straight reporter. Very different. And I think the world of Twitter and the world of Facebook, social media has changed the medium and the user, and it's kind of flattened everything to where you're constantly surrounded by user feedback and listener feedback. And so no wonder people want to share their opinion. And then you add that to these folks want to be friends with the people in power or the sworn enemies of the people in power in the case of the mainstream media and Trump. And it creates a toxic mix. And I think also the urge to put information out all the time, every minute of the day, on the hour, by the hour. Just get new info out there. And so I think that leads to shoddy
journalism, because mm-hmm. they're just responding. They're not researching and doing the work.
They're reacting to the crowd.
Hence the Sandman situation from the Catholic school from Kentucky. Let me do this. Let me go to an early break and see if I can find this segment that's missing out of this. Demo Show will be back right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Times are hard. You're afraid to pay the fee. So you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Basements flood, security systems quit. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Last year alone, 41 million people lost power for an average of 5 days. And with severe storms becoming a common occurrence, it's only going to get worse. So how can you take back control? A Generac home standby generator protects your home against power outages every second of every day, all year long, ready to automatically supply power to your home within seconds of an outage, whether your home or away. And because it runs on either natural gas or LP, you won't have to wait in line to buy gasoline ever. Control your power, control your life with a Generac home standby generator.
With affordable financing options available, now's the perfect time for Mr. Electric to install an automatic standby generator in your home. And remember, Mr. Electric provides maintenance for backup generators too. For more information, call Mr. Electric of Montgomery today.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Sometimes
that's where we are. So the phones, let's go to Rodney, and I'm going to try to get this thing over to Joey. Rodney, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan, Joey, how are you all today?
Very good. How are you doing today? How's the traffic out there?
It's looking good out here. It's not looking very bad at all.
Good.
I'm kind of listening to Trump with the healthcare thing, and I kind of think I understand the strategy going into the election with that, putting the brakes on that. I'm starting to get a little concerned, Dan, about Mexico. Seems like Mexico is starting to do a little pushback to the United States about this border stuff and how they say they're not going to do this and not going to do that. Dan, look, I really hate to say this, but how long do you think it would take the United States to invade Mexico and take control of the whole Mexican territory?
Well, it wouldn't take...
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just asking the question, how long do you think that...
It wouldn't take... If you use the full power and might of the U.S. Army, it wouldn't take long at all.
All right. And how long do you think it would take for says the country of Mexico to go bankrupt if we close off the border and smother them from not being able to get any kind of money moving in and out of that country.
Well, they would implode pretty fast because they're very dependent on money being transferred to Mexico from here.
Correct. And also, we're right in the peak and middle of agricultural season. And is Mexico one of the largest producers of agriculture into the United States?
They are. We buy a lot of tequila and other things from them.
Tequila. What do you think is going to happen, Dan, with all of this? Do you have any idea where this might be hit?
I think what they're trying to do is get... I think Trump's trying to get their attention, trying to get them to do something proactively on the Guatemala-Mexican border, and if they do, it will help the situation out a lot.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but they've already responded back. They are not going to do any of that. And so Trump kind of canceled his plans, and I think he's reeling himself back here quite suddenly. That's going to indicate to me that Trump's going to close the border over there. I really believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think he is too, but he's going to do it to try to get their attention and see how they respond to that.
Correct. And I think that's the right move because I cannot believe that the leaders in Mexico are as ignorant as they are sound. Because number one, the United States can overthrow them and throw them all out, crush the cartel, and just open up Mexico as American land, and then all just let all the Guatemalans come into Mexico because it'll be America now. And but anyway, we know that's not going to happen. But the border deal seems to be maybe going to get their attention because I just don't see. I see these people calling a bluff here because I just can't see that a normal person thinks that they can, number one, hold off the United States and that they can survive if the United States closes the border. I can't rationalize with that, so it has to be a bluff. And it's just been bluffed for so long, I think it's the right thing to do. And I think that you're probably right. Within a couple, if not a week, Mexico's going to fall to the knees and try to negotiate this and get it, you know, get something done. But it's just sad we got to go this far with this to actually get something done.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a bad situation, and these Democrats and Joe Scarborough and Talking Heads who said this is a made-up story, it's not a made-up story. And 4,000 in one day, even Jay Johnson said this is a crisis.
Well, Dan, if for ones who don't know it out there already, the Mueller investigation wasn't an investigation. The rest of the stuff they're talking about, it's not going to cripple the United States economy. This is what the administration previously has been done, and that's why we're dealing with Mexico now. They're saying that, oh, well, these people in America ain't going to do nothing. They just keep saying the same thing. And I just don't think that they're realizing that they're not dealing with an ordinary, everyday politician. And it's just amazing. It really does. That people are more concerned about their avocados than their country.
Yeah, the avocado emergency here.
Yeah, everybody's worried about, are we going to be able to import avocados? And you know what?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares about avocado? I care about my country, you bunch of idiots. I mean, wake up. I mean, geez. I mean, anyway, let's see what he does. But I keep in contact with Trump staff through Twitter and everything, and I done made my point about it, and I told him close it. He could have closed it tomorrow, and I'd be just as happy. So,
I think he will close it next week.
Yeah, I think he will too, Dave. All right, guys, it's sunny and nice out here, and in a couple hours, y'all be out here enjoying it.
There you go. You're talking to two guys in an attic, remember?
I'm thinking at y'all just a little bit. But anyway, y'all have a good one, Dan. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks, Rodney. I'm going to have to double-check this clip here, Joe, before I send it to you. All right. I'm going to wait till we get to the top of the hour. So let's move to Bill Bennett on Fox and Friends this morning, talking about Perez's comments. And this is the chairman of the DNC and some of the stuff he says. These guys are so full of it, it's unbelievable.
DNC Chair Tom Perez making it clear how he feels about Republicans in Congress who support their president.
The thing is, they are cowardly. I mean, history will not only judge Donald Trump harshly, it will judge Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and all the other cowards who refused to stand up to this president and allowed the party of Lincoln to die. They will be judged harshly because whatever he says goes right now.
Well, here to react is Fox News contributor and former education secretary under President Reagan, Mr. Bill Bennett. Huh. You hear those comments. Is that the new deplorable? Are Democrats completely out of touch?
Yeah, well, that's just the beginning. Deplorable, now cowardly. What does Elizabeth Barrett Browning say? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. How do I hate thee and disdain thee? Let me count the ways. And we're only 18 months away, so yeah. it's gonna get worse. But it's also not true. If he paid attention, he would see that Mitch McConnell is not very happy and has made it plain with several things the president has done, like the latest thing on health care. And then he singles out Tom Perez, DNC chairman, singles out Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is an ornery and independent South Carolina cuss. You know what kind of guy that is, Ainsley. Anyway, he says what he thinks. You remember when there was talk in the White House about maybe dumping Mueller and criticizing Mueller? He said he stood up for Mueller. He said, no way. And then remember, he opposed the president on Syria and the removal of troops from Syria. So there's a lot of standing up. But for the most part, this party is standing with the president. And that's a good thing because that's good for the country.
Bill Bennett is a very thoughtful kind of guy. I knew him a little bit from the Reagan administration. He does this program called The Wise Guys. You can hear him talk about it in the third clip. But let's continue on with him talking about Tom Perez and the Dems. Or if Trump is for it, the Dems are against it.
By Donald Trump. But no, I think the ideals of Lincoln remain vibrant in the Republican Party. It's the Democrat Party that has changed. That's why I left the Democrat Party 25 years ago. They used to be the party of human rights. They used to be the party of equality based on character, not the color of skin. And they did not do this business of identity politics that they're doing now. It used to be a party of the center. And now it's a party of the left and seems to get further every day, doesn't it?
In a way, it does. And I think there's a couple of things going on. Is that, for example, we know that illegal immigration, I think every Republican knows it's a problem. Maybe they're not for the shutting down of the border. Maybe they're not for denying funds to the three triangle nations. But they appreciate the president's trying to get something done. And if he knows you respect him, he does not mind if you go against him. What don't Democrats understand about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it's hate Trump. It's no matter what the issue is, what dominates is hate Trump. But they are also, in their view and their actions, going against the Democrats.